Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. Thanks for joining me today. If this is your first time listening to one of these podcasts, Quiet Time Coaching is all about helping one another to have the most deep, intimate, and enriching times of quiet with God that we can, that will help us to draw close to the heart of God and grow in the likeness of Christ. That's the idea. And each week we focus on a different topic, a different theme. And today, something I saw this morning in the park has inspired me to record a podcast on the issue of, well, the power of modeling for motivation. So today, the day of recording, is the hottest day of the year in the UK so far. It may well turn out to be the hottest day ever since reliable records began. Somewhat sensibly, I went out nice and early this morning for my morning prayer walk, but I noticed something unusual this morning. Most days, as I walk through Cassiobury Park here in Watford, I see the occasional cyclist, I see a few joggers. But today, well before 7 in the morning, I was dodging between power walkers, joggers, runners, and cyclists, all shapes and sizes, and I couldn't work it out. Why was it so busy? It's Thursday morning. There's nothing special about this particular day. Why so many more people exercising than usual? And then it hit me, as well as the heat hitting me. They all know that it's going to be too hot to exercise later. There are probably people who go out for a lunchtime run or a mid-morning run or perhaps after work or in the evening. But it's so hot at the moment. You don't want to be out there doing that at this time of day, at that time of day, at least not if you grew up in this country. So they've adapted. They're going out early in the morning instead. Now, for the last 3 months, I've adopted a more intentional and extensive exercise regime myself. I've spent more time on my bicycle, been regularly going through a strength training set of exercises developed for me by an expert and friend of mine called Debbie Bishop. Now, both of these things, on the bike and the strength training, have been tremendously helpful for improving my energy levels, my sense of well-being, and my hopes for a healthier old age. And indeed, I've been sleeping better. However, there's been a few things on my plate recently. I've been doing some extra traveling to help my mother and father with some things to do with hospital visits. I had a few days when I had a bug that laid me a bit low, and the hot weather as well has all made me rather inconsistent in the last week, 2 weeks. Or rather, I have decided that inconsistency is allowable. Now, I think adaptability is a good thing, but inconsistency isn't. So something interesting happened to me today. See, I already knew I needed to do my strength training exercises. Today was one of those days, but given the anticipated heat of the day, I had half allowed myself the idea that I'd skip the exercises even before I sort of began the day. But when I saw all those extra joggers and cyclists this morning, it helped me. It helped motivate me to get on with my exercises once I got home. There's some power in modeling that helps motivation. What they were modeling in adapting, but still getting on with what they needed to do in terms of their own exercise, inspired me to change my expectations and my plans. So once I got back home, I jumped straight into my strength training plan before the heat of the day became too oppressive. It did help that I got my fan and put it on the floor and directed it straight at my face while I was doing the floor exercises amongst those that are part of the strength training program. And that did make a difference. You see, much as we might hope to not need external motivation, the truth is that the example of others and the camaraderie of working together on something makes a difference to us being consistent in the things that matter. And this is just as true of prayer and our times of quiet with God as anything else. Yes, indeed, we do need our own motivation. We can't depend on others in that sense. But we're kidding ourselves if we think we don't need some extra support and inspiration from time to time. Now let's think about what this could mean how it might help our times of quiet with God specifically. Three things for us today. Firstly, the friend. The friend as a modeling motivator. Friends help us in three key ways. First, they give us companionship. As it says in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16, and I shall put all the scripture references into the show notes. Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Sometimes we need a friend to help us find strength in God, a person to talk to, a person to pray with. Do you have such a friend? Firstly, companionship. Secondly, we need friends because they give us guidance. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Restoring them, bringing them back to the right path, guiding them back to God. At times, we need someone to help us come back to God when we've moved away from Him. And of course, sometimes we need this ourselves from our friends. Are you this kind of resource for other people? Or do you need some restoration yourself? So firstly, our friends give companionship. Secondly, they give us guidance. But thirdly, they give us inspiration. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 16. Jehu said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." Then he had him ride along in his chariot. Spending time with someone on fire for God can help us reconnect with God. So who would be the Jehu in your life at the moment? But firstly, something that helps us is to have friends that give us companionship, guidance, and inspiration. But the second key area for this in terms of modeling and supporting is the community, our Christian community. We commonly would call this our church, but it could be a whole congregation or it could be a smaller group, but it's our community of faith. In Romans 8, verse 15, it says, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Now, the key word here for our purposes is the small word, we. It's never just that I cry, Abba, Father, but I cry together with others. We cry, Abba, Father, congregationally, with one another, together. It's important that we know each other's prayer needs in the congregation or whatever group you're part of. If your congregation's large, at least know the needs within your small group, your local group. Take the example of the Apostle Paul. He's praying for people in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that Spirit gives." He was praying for them. They knew he was praying for them. And of course, we need to let our needs be known as well. It's not just we pray for others. We need to let people know what to pray for ourselves. Paul again in Romans 15, verse 31. "Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there." Two prayer requests in one verse. Be to be kept safe and that the contribution would be acceptable. Do people know your needs? Do you know the needs of other people? Do you know what their prayer requests are? And do other people know what your prayer requests are? Just earlier this morning, I sent a text message to someone in the Watford congregation, letting them know that I was praying for something they asked me and the rest of us in the church to pray about. I wanted them to know I have been praying. And I got a lovely reply thanking me and telling me that she is praying for something I've asked for prayers about, which I'd actually momentarily forgotten I'd asked for. And it was lovely to know that she's praying for me as I'm praying for her and her situations. And it's we cry, Abba, Father. This is a tremendous help and motivation in helping us to pray and be consistent in our own times of quiet with God. If I know someone's praying for me, that helps motivate me to then pray for them and draw close to God. Knowing that my needs are known and that I know the needs of others is a motivation to consistency in my times of quiet with God. Now, I am grateful for the early morning exercises in Casterbury Park this morning. They helped me. They helped me to get on with what I really want to do. I hope you find the motivation you need to help you to develop the kind of depth and the kind of intimacy with God that you really want. Could a friend help you? Could a friend model to you? Could a friend support you in that? Or could your Christian community help you with that? Even perhaps today, sending someone a request for prayer, asking others for their requests, helping to motivate you. Let me know what you think about this. And I wonder if you have any tips you could share that might help me and others develop a more consistent motivation in our times of quiet with God. What helps you stay motivated? And what ways have you found it effective in trying to help other people stay motivated? Alternatively, I suppose you could share what demotivates you, and then we could look at the opposite of that. Please share your story. Please share your answers, perhaps even your questions, and maybe, if you're willing, your struggles. Please add your comments. Wherever you hear this recording, please leave it publicly, because we learn best when we learn in community. Do you have a friend who might be interested in this, who perhaps could benefit? Then please copy the link and pass it on to them, send it to them so that they can listen and hopefully benefit. If you have any questions about the Bible, theological, technical, practical, anything like that, then please do let me know. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. And if you sign up for my free newsletter, and free it is, on my website, then I shall send you a free book on spiritual disciplines, How God Grows His People, which I'm very happy for you to have. I'll email that to you once you've signed up at the website. The website is all the W's, then Malcolm Cox, one word, malcolmcox.org. And then I'll put you on the list. You'll get my weekly newsletter with a summary of what I've been up to on all my recordings. And you may get some other goodies from time to time. I hope you find this helpful. I hope you find this useful. And until the next time, I pray that you have wonderful, intimate, deep, satisfying times with God. Take care, and God bless.